Well, good morning to all of you who set your clocks properly. Got to have a conversation with the powers that be about having spring break and time change on the same Sunday. Yeah, not fair. But we are excited that you're here. We welcome everyone who's with us online this morning on Facebook. I have a big announcement I need to make and move out of the way before I move on to my message. We are having Easter Live here on the first Sunday of April, the 4th. Praise God. It was an unusual Easter last year. I believe it's going to be a very dynamic visitation of God this Easter. I believe that with all of my heart. And so I'm asking the question, who are you bringing or inviting for Easter, April the 4th? I want to encourage you to invite someone, at least one person, to come with you on Easter Sunday. We have something out on the Connection Center booth. If you will step out there today, we have a card that you can grab and give out to people to advertise it. I call these push cards. You can take those. They're small. You can put them in something, carry them around, give them away. Also, if you want to mail it to somebody, you can do that on the back and send it yourself to mail it. Also, we have out there an advertisement that you can give out and encourage people to bring their children to our glow-in-the-dark Easter egg hunt. That's always fun that we have here. It's even if you don't have children, you ought to come. It's a lot of fun to watch what happens. And now that we have a larger area and a place underneath for them to do everything, instead of out in the sun and the heat, they can do it under the canopy out here, all the things that they do, and then have their Easter egg hunt out here. We'll encourage you to invite people to that. That's April the 2nd. That's on a Friday night at 7 p.m. So two things you have out there. We also have a third thing that you can do to invite people. Those of you that are really techie or you want to be more techie, we have out there on the booth a QR code. Those have gotten real popular, haven't they, with all the COVID stuff going on. We have one out there on the booth, and let me encourage you to do this. Take a picture of it. Then walk up to somebody and invite them to come to Easter and hold out your phone. People love to do this. Hold out your phone and say, hey, scan this. See mine? They can scan that. Take them directly to our website. Tells them all about Easter on April the 4th. It'll also tell them about our Easter egg glow-in-the-dark hunt with our children on April the 2nd. So we have three different ways for you to get information out to everybody. The two pieces that you can take and hand out or use your phone, take a picture of that QR code out there and get other people to scan it while you're talking to them. That'll be a lot of fun to do that because I've done it. I've tested it. I've said, hey, just scan this. And it's funny. People just start getting their phone ready and they scan it. You know, it's just habit. So it's another way to get the message out about Easter. Again, I want to say it. I believe with all of my heart it's going to be a dynamic Easter season and that God is going to do some really special things. And so I encourage you to bring people on Easter Sunday. Today I begin my Easter series as we journey to Easter Sunday. But first I want to remind us we must not forget the promises that God has made us. They're very significant promises. My series, The Tip of the Iceberg, if you didn't hear it all, I'm going to encourage you to go back, find the messages you missed, and listen to them because we are not going to let go of the promises of God that He's made to us, not only as a church, but to us individually. So if you haven't heard all the messages, I'm going to encourage you to go listen to them. You can go on Facebook, the archive. You can watch the service as it happened right here, or you can go to our website and you can listen to the audio version of the message. A lot of people do that while they're traveling in their cars. But do not forget the promises. Secondly, do not forget what Pastor Jeff said here last Sunday as he dedicated this building for the work of the kingdom. Jeff spoke to us a word of how God blesses the church and that He blesses the church that what has perseverance. We also have to walk that out on an individual basis because who's the church? You are. And God blesses the church that perseveres. It's important. He told us that God blesses the church that walks in discernment. Would you say we live in a world that we need more discernment? Church needs more discernment. You need to be getting up asking God for more discernment. God blesses the church that walks in discernment. And then the third thing he told us was that God blesses the church that speaks gospel truth. We need to be the church that speaks the truth of the gospel. That we need to be speaking the word of God. We need to know the word of God, and we need to speak the truth. God blesses a church that speaks the truth. And then he threw something in that I didn't expect to come. And it was a complete confirmation of my assignment in this Easter season. Pastor Jeff told us that God will bless. This was kind of off in his as he was talking. I realized it just came to him as he was speaking to us that God blesses the church that does not hide its light. Yes. What did Pastor Jeff tell us? Don't keep Jesus to yourself. I'm going to be sharing with you 4 of 7 I am statements that Jesus made between now and Easter. We're going to be looking at 4 of the I am statements that Jesus made. Now, in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world." And the rain comes and it goes away. I'm going to pull a Colin. Give me a moment to myself, okay? Let me figure out what happened here. Okay. We should be good to go. All right. "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. Matter of fact, you'll walk in the light of life." Now, when Jesus made this statement to a group of people, the people that he's speaking to had just witnessed a very significant moment in the ministry of Jesus. They had also witnessed a very incredible scene. Now, let's move outside of just reading the scriptures. Let's live the scriptures. Now, capture the scene. Jesus teaching in the temple. And suddenly, a group brings a woman who's been caught in adultery, and they bring her before Jesus. Now, I want you to just see this. Can you imagine? I'm preaching, and then a whole group of people bring somebody, just come flooding through that door with somebody that they want me to deal with. Catch it. You're getting it? The scene? He's teaching in the temple. Group of people bring this woman who's been caught in adultery before Jesus. They didn't care about the woman. They didn't care about her. They're trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to find a cause against Jesus. Don't care about her. They were just looking for something to try to trick Jesus. Now, they start pressing Jesus with the question, should this woman be stoned? I love Jesus' answer. Jesus starts marking in the sand. Now, a lot of pastors have tried to build sermons around what was he writing in the sand. Doesn't matter. I'm going to live the scriptures. When it says that when they pressed him, and it says they continued to press him, even while he was drawing in the sand, writing, doodling, whatever he was doing. Now I'm going to live the scriptures because I like to live the scriptures, not just read them. Father, you know, if they weren't mad at me, they're furious with me now. I'm ignoring them. I didn't answer their question right away. You know, Father, I know who I am.
I'm the light of the world. I'm here to bring light to where there's darkness and set the captive free. I'm here to see that people know that they are loved and cared for and they can be free from the sin. Lord, you sent me here, my Father, to be born so that people like this woman can be free. Father, what would you have me say? How would you have me handle this moment? I know what the word says. I know who I am. But what would you have me do? I just preached a message to every one of us, if we're listening. Jesus did not immediately answer them. Jesus, I believe with all of my heart, knelt before God, his Father, and asked, "What shall I do?" We could learn from that. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to handle this situation? I know who I am. I know what the scriptures say. But what am I supposed to do? How do you want me to handle this? They're still pressing Jesus. They're wanting an answer from Jesus. And then John chapter 8, verse 7, it says, as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Jesus goes back to drawing in the sand. Father, I've said what you told me to do. Now, I'll leave the rest up to you. Jesus continues to doodle in the sand, draw whatever he was doing. And one by one, all of her accusers began to leave. Now, suddenly, all the voices in this lady's head that were screaming that she needed to be stoned because of her adultery, now all she can hear is the words that said, he that's without sin, throw the first stone. This embarrassed woman is still in front of Jesus as Jesus is drawing. I believe with all of my heart that people want to be free from sin. I believe with all of my heart the hardest person you know wants to be free. But they're looking for the true light. And when they find the light, they cannot remove themselves from the light. She's standing there because the light of the world is speaking truth. She wants to be free. And Jesus stands up. Love this. John 8, 10 through 11, Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, Lord, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more. I believe the truth and the power and the dominion of King Jesus speaking to her set her free. That same power is in you. Are we taking the light to the world who is in desperate need of light
and getting out of the darkness because they're desperately wanting out. They're waiting on the light to show up. I believe with all of my heart that this woman didn't just go off and continue and falter. I believe that this woman got the truth. She left there, probably rearranged everything in her life, and was probably one of the ladies that was along with all the other ones, along with all the other men that followed Jesus everywhere that he went. Here's another thing. You've seen it. I've witnessed it. When someone gets out of a situation, what do? She didn't go anywhere. The woman heard truth. The woman was standing in front of light, and the woman desperately wanted to be free. That's what happens when true light shows up. When the light of the world shows up. Now, you need to have an ear to hear what I'm about to say this morning. Pastor Jeff, set the moment. The Holy Spirit instructed me with instructions from on high on this series. God is speaking to us. Have an ear to hear. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name right now, asking that every distraction cease right now. And that every ear hears what you're saying this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in this place. Moving online, because you're online doesn't mean that we check out. It means we check in. And we hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. And the church said, amen. The accusers evaporate. Now, after this scene, he turns to the crowd that's left. And he tells them, I am the light of the world. Truth number one this morning. Jesus, as the light of the world, extends a choice between the darkness of sin and the radiant light of a life in his presence. He extends that, and guess who extends it? Through you and me, the church. In Luke chapter 8, verse 16, it says, and no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. We're going to read it again. Luke 8:16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Leads me to truth number two. The Lord lit the light of the church. That is you and it's me, for the purpose of giving light to the world and to be seen. We got to stop keeping Jesus to ourselves. God lit the light of the church to be seen. We're the light of the world. The world, come on, the world is in darkness, moral darkness, and needs the light. Who's the light? The world needs the light. Now, please don't come to me with this one, because it was my first one. Oh, but I've got a different personality. The light of the world within you will supersede your personality. The light of the world can take you from your box to the street and watch hundreds get saved. If you'll let the light of life take over your life. If you let it take over your life.
He used to tell people, "That's just not me. I'm not so and so. I'm just. That's for all of y'all." Wrong. I woke up to that reality pretty quick. Wrong. It's all of our responsibility. All of us. All of our responsibility. The church, me and you, was meant to be seen outside these walls. We're meant to be seen. Truth number three, Jesus didn't light our light so that we could hide under a basket. No. Hey, we were without power for 44 hours during all of this. Some of you a lot longer. I went outside, got our pop-up camper. I went out and got all of our LED Coleman lanterns. I tell you what, when I lit them, we didn't cover them. We are not to cover up. Let me make this very true statement. The church has got to stop being fearful and silent when the vendors of darkness are loud and strong. We, the church, have got to quit being fearful and silent when the vendors of darkness are consuming the next generation. First John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out of the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." True light draws people to it. Through the years, I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor, I don't know why. I'm just trying really hard to just keep to myself, and everybody at work keeps coming to me with their problems. I'm not a counselor. I don't even hardly know the word as well as I should. But they keep coming to me. Every time I turn around, somebody's sitting down saying, 'I know you can help me.' Guess what? You're the light of the world. And your light's shining. You can't help it. Quit pushing it away. When people come, go, 'Thank you, Jesus. My light is shining. Help me.'" Here's what we do. "Oh my gosh, I don't want this." And so we cover ourselves up. And now they're drowned in the darkness of the world again. "Well, God, I don't have time for that. Make time for it." "Well, God, you know, it's messing with my gaming time." "Well, shoot the gaming time, you know, whatever. Take it out." The world is dying around us, and you're the light of the world. Don't get me started on all the video game stuff that takes up so much time. Hours when you could be in the Word. You tell me I can't play video games? No. But hours, day after day? You still love me? You say, "Well, that's for kids." I'm amazed at all the 60-year-olds I know that spend 6-7 hours a day playing video games. Nothing wrong with playing video games. Come on. But it's what Colin said this morning. What is consuming our life? What consumes our life? Are we making time for him? Man, I didn't even plan to go there. Somebody needed that. Okay. True light draws people to it, like a moth to light, and especially to a flame. People are attracted
to true light. We need to be the light because we're the church. And do not stay away from the Word of God and convince yourself, well, I don't want to, if I don't get in the Word, I won't shine too brightly. But if you claim to be a Christian, one of your number one goals is to shine brightly. Is to shine. Folks, things are just rapidly happening in our world, and we're going to have to get a hold of the reality that we've got to be the church. We've got to be the church. I'm not here to give you a seeker-friendly message today. I'm here to give you the truth. The question becomes, are we drawing people out of darkness? Or are we just living our life while they stay in darkness? Are we drawing anybody out of darkness with our life? How do we become light drawers? Number one, by being God's magnet. Well, how do I be God's magnet? By being irresistible. Well, how do I be irresistible? By lifting Jesus up in our lives on a daily basis. Okay, how do I lift Jesus up on a daily basis so that I'm a magnet and I'm irresistible? Let me tell you the number one thing. I'm going to give you just two today. I could give you 10. I'm going to give you two. And it begins with your behavior in front of people. Darn, you would go there this morning, wouldn't you? Your behavior in front of people. Number one. Through our behavior. That takes me to truth number four. We have to always make sure. Key word. Always. Make sure we are representing Jesus properly. Always. Well, Pastor, I'll tell you what. You can go do that, but I'm going to take a vacation at least 5 out of 7 days a week on that. Because I got to be me. You know what? Colin made a very important statement, and I hope you caught it. I hope you're listening. When someone is speaking to us, that we're listening. He said, I know me. Father, I'm sorry. He hungers for change. We know ourselves. We need to be asking ourselves, am I doing what's necessary to change so that I can properly represent Jesus Christ every day? Are you going to make some mistakes? Yes. But are you picking yourself up and still chasing after change so that you can be a brighter light? Second Corinthians 5:20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. I'm not making that up. That's scripture, okay? So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through who? Us. And our behavior is very important. He's making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. Why would I want to come back to God? Because last week you treated me like trash for 5 out of 7 days. Where's the love of Christ in that? We are Christ's ambassadors. He speaks through who? Us. He makes his appeal through us. The church.
Truth number five, we represent the kingdom. We need to avoid all appearances of evil. Let me read this from three translations, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Stay away from every kind of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. Reject every kind of evil. The question is, how do we behave in public? Now let me meddle. How do we behave behind closed doors? How do we behave? How do we behave in public? How did I treat the waitress yesterday? How did I talk to the young man who's sacking my groceries? Did I speak kind words to the person who just messed up checking my groceries out and I caught something, but with much grace, I addressed the situation instead of with a scowl on my face like you owe me something? How do we treat people and then go declare, I'm a king's kid. I'm a Christian. You know how we reach the world? We be light. Rochelle and I have got a daughter who does all this. Another one's done it. We've had some really bad waitresses. But we love them. And we speak to them. And we're so kind to them, most of the time they will stop and tell us what's really going on. See, you don't know. And they tell us what's really going on. And now we can let the compassion of Jesus be released to them. Prime example, last Sunday we had a waitress who was, a lot of stuff was going on and she kept forgetting and doing and stuff. And then I saw the manager come and talk to her and the Lord spoke to me and he said, show her who I am. She'd messed up some stuff for us. I reached in my pocket, pulled out, we'd already given the tip. I pulled out some more money. She came by, I stopped her. I put it in her hand and I said, here, just want to bless you. Her eyes watered. Are we the light of the world? Or do we think because I'm a Christian, I'm owed something more? How can I reach that young lady? We're going to go back to that place again, and I'm going to be looking for her. Why? Because I want her to start seeing the difference between darkness and light. That's just a simple example. How do we behave? Are we the light of the world? You know what my true nature wants to do? What's wrong with you? Come on. We're paying good money for this, you know? Haven't you seen I brought a guest? Get your act together. But is that Jesus in skin? No. Sure, she messed up. I get it. But I saw something because I want to see what my Father sees. Something deep was going on. I want to be the solution, not part of the problem. Oh, Holy Spirit, don't make me do this. Okay. How many times have you really messed up, but you expected grace? Oh, come on, I need a whole bunch of amens on that one. Amen. We reap what we sow. Oh, that was good stuff. All right, now, next. Through our speech. You ready? Hang on. Oh no, he's going to come with the same stuff he always comes with. Yeah. Speech. Proverbs 18:1. Or Proverbs something out there. Death and life are what? The power of the tongue. Question, do you speak faith or negativity all the time? Negativity is not the light of the world. Faith is. But Pastor, you don't know the facts. I know all kinds of facts, but I'm going to speak faith. Because the light of the world would be speaking faith. Regardless of what's going to happen, light of the world would be speaking faith. The world out there is trying to find out, do we really believe in what we say? But if all they hear is negativity, they're not going to believe in what we say. Our speech. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are we speaking? I could have spoke negativity to this young lady. Instead, I spoke a word of encouragement to her that we wanted her to know that we cared and that we wanted to bless her and that everything's going to be okay. See, that's a word of faith. It's going to be okay. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. I remember as a non-Christian, this guy that was always trying to reach out to me. And one day I just told him, I said, you know what? I don't know a whole lot about your Christianity. Because I said, all I ever hear out of you is complaints. You complain about everything. And I'm thinking, why would I want to hang? He would say, you need to hang out with me, man. Come on. You need to hang out with me. I'm going to share the word with you. You need to hang out with me. And I'm thinking, why would I want to hang out with you? I'm going to be depressed when I hang out with you. Power of the tongue. Are we speaking faith or negativity? The verse says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Leads me to truth number 6. When our speech lines up with the word, we lift Jesus up. I've said this before. I have stood in faith when everything went south. I got up the next morning, and guess what I did? I stood in faith again for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Because faith is the light that Jesus is and was here on this earth. Faith. I'm not going to give up just because things went a different direction. Because I have too much in my memorial stones of all the things that God did because of faith. And the world needs to see your faith. They need to hear your faith. They need to hear your speech that speaks life and not death. The light of the world, the church, speaks life and not death. But what if? We don't live in the what if. We live in the faith. And if it goes south, I live in the faith. Are y'all with me? I live in the faith anyway. I live in the faith. It's my closing statement this morning. As we journey to Easter, I want to stir you up with the reality that we should have people in here that do not know Jesus, hopefully on Easter. You want to turn a world upside down and have it the way you really want it? Let's get about 100 people saved and watch what happens. That come to know Jesus. There'll be so much light coming from this place, people will be stopping out on the road going, man, I don't know what's going on, but there's light coming from that place. Because we just added to the light. Are you with me? We added more light. How are we living our lives? What is our behavior? What is our speech? Are we being the light of the world? Or have we
already got our can of excuses sealed up, and we pull them out and use them to bypass everything I just taught. It's not the way to live. There's a greater life, and it's a life that desires to be the light. To be the light. My closing statement, light of Jesus is bright. It dispels darkness. It enables people to see him through us. Jesus told his followers to let your light shine before others. I'm going to say it again. Jesus told his followers. Who are his followers? Are you his follower? Are you his follower?
Yes.
Man. Let your light shine before others. Calling them to live an active faith, not a passive one. Put your light on its stand. Your circumstances are an opportunity to shine brightly for the Lord and to share God's overcoming truth. And just want to end right there. His overcoming truth to those around you is a decision. It's a decision. Sunday, I had to make a decision. I've got guests. And our flesh wants to say, I needed to defend my guests for the way this has happened and the way they've been served. And no, Jesus says, love her. Bless her. Like I've done you when you've had a bad day. Come on. We're to be the light of the world. Church, as I look around, I see the church. Those of you that are online, I'm going to challenge you right now to do exactly what I hope they all do here. Is that we stand up and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Help me be the light of the world. Would you stand with me? Those of you who are watching me, stand with me. The world is so dark. There's only one hope, and it's through you, the light of the world. We need to be Jesus in our own skin, reaching the world that's around us. I can't reach your world. I'm not with you all the time. But you have an opportunity I don't have. Some of you are going to go to a restaurant today, and I hope this burns in you. And the moment you want to get upset with your waitress, you just bite your tongue and say, and if everybody in the restaurant wonders what you're doing, you know, just get down beside your table, start doodling in the... Father, I'm supposed to be the light of the world, and I don't want to be right now. What would you have me say and do for this waitress? God loves them. And he sent you to do what? To show his love. Let's just submit ourselves however you do that. You may lift your hands. You may fold your hands. I don't know what you do. But let's just submit ourselves before the Father right now. Most High God, everlasting Father, the Lion of Judah, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I Am. You said, I am the light of the world. You died on that cross and you rose again. And you lit the light of the church. Now the church is your light of life. And Father, right now, as we lift our hands, as we stand with our hands folded, as we may have our hands on the front of the chair in front of us in our posture of reverence before you. Father, as a church, we are sorry that we have not been the light of life as we should be. We've been light, but not the light that we should be. Father God, I pray right now in the mighty and most powerful and strong name of Jesus Christ that we will take this seriously and be the light of life to the world around us. That our behavior will expose us as Christians. Our speech will declare that we are Christians. Father, help us to be those things. Holy Spirit, invade our space. Lead, guide, and direct us. Bring conviction, strong conviction, when we're going in the wrong direction or about to say the wrong thing or to act the wrong way. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in such a way that it gets my attention, that I might have opportunity to change my direction and my speech. Father, where we have failed in those areas, we ask your forgiveness, and I thank you that we are forgiven. We stand today, as I do in these spotlights, to be your spotlight to a world that is in moral darkness. Father, arise with power within your church. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't see any guests with us today. I would normally talk about our connection card, but I'm going to bring up the connection card. If your address has changed, your phone number, your email, we've had a bunch of emails bouncing back. If you've changed your email or you've changed your phone number, address, would you please fill out a new connection card and leave it out at the Connection Center? We would greatly appreciate it. Church, are you ready to go be the light? Amen. Come on. Church, are you ready to go be the light? All right. You're dismissed.